Well, today, of course, we get the foundation for our doctrine of the indissolubility of marriage. It's interesting, though, the historical context in which this occurs with Jesus, who is not about to, as it were, avoid a fight. He actually steps into it and gets these guys really bollocksed up. We've already seen that Jesus changes the entire history of religions by selecting one principle, namely love, to be the highest of all principles, to which all other principles are subordinate. They're all subject to this highest ideal of love, that he's linked together the love of God with the love of neighbor. So he's already blown the circuits, not only of the history of religion by selecting one principle, he selects the principle of love, which of course is a shocking thing. Then of course the idea of putting love of neighbor, right, which is a very light commandment in Leviticus, putting it with a heavy commandment from, you know, Deuteronomy, the Shema, right, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, whole heart, soul, and strength, right, to bring these two together has already blown the circuits, you know, of the Pharisees. And now, you know, they just can't resist. They come up with another test, and they should know by now they're really going to get another circuit blower. But here it comes. They say, oh, you know, tell us, teacher, can a man, divorce his wife? And of course, you know, they've got everything ready to go. You know, Moses allowed a decree of divorce. We got you now. And of course, there's two major factions, the Hillel and the Shaddai, right? And the Hillel were unbelievable, right? I mean, they'd allow a divorce for anything. You know, wife's a bad cook, divorce her, right? Bad housekeeper, divorce her, grounds for divorce. So of course, Jesus sees, and the Essenes would complain against this, right? There's factions already in Israel that think this is not good. But of course, Jesus is really going to establish, he uses the occasion to establish, it's not, how strict a code. You have to go into a marriage without thinking that you can get a divorce under the following circumstances. It's like our prenuptial agreements today. That's basically, in many cases, right? You had such a liberal view of divorce, and at that time among one school, one of the Jewish schools of thought, that essentially people are going into this marriage thinking, oh, okay, let me go into the, now what are the conditions under which I can get divorced just in case this is not a good deal? And of course, once you have that in your mind, it's almost as if, it's that old, adage of Gabriel Marcel, never ask the question whether again, but only the question how. And that is such great advice. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying in this doctrine. Now, we, of course, look at it from the vantage point of indissolubility of marriage, and how do we reconcile this with, the need for an annulment and all kinds of legalistic prescriptions. But what Jesus is really at, more than, establishing the law surrounding marriage, is our attitude and our commitment to the permanence of marriage. That's what he's really striving after. And he gives the rationale. You can't just abandon your wife. My gosh, she's just subject to whatever once you have stepped out on her and there are kids and everything else. Of course, that you can't just do that. And in a society like Israel, that wife would be at a severe disadvantage, and the children along with her. But the point at hand, says Jesus, is when you go into a marriage, the way to go in is never ask the question whether again, but only the question how. That's the way to do it. Because that question whether, if you let it out of the bag, if you're thinking of the conditions under which you can get divorced if it doesn't work out, all you'll do is compare your spouse to every other spouse around the block. So essentially, there's always, whether I should have gotten married to this lout, should I, just kidding, whether I should have gotten married to this gal, I don't know. But you're going to compare and compare and compare. And we know what happens when you start doing the comparisons. Instead of looking for the good news in your spouse, the comparison focuses you on the good news in the other spouse, which of course you really don't see, and therefore the bad news in your spouse. So what Jesus is trying to, what Marcel is trying to say is, there's only one healthy question when you go into marriage. How? How are we, not just me, how are we going to make this work? How am I and how are we going to make this work? Don't go the comparison route. You'll just undermine the commitment. Instead, go the how route. What are we going to do to make it work? How are we going to use our creativity, our energy to make it work? How are we going to strengthen this unity instead of letting it dissipate? That's the attitude to go in with, because if we do that, instead of thinking about the conditions for its dissolution, by the way, this applies to the priesthood just as much as marriage, right? If you start asking the question whether, you are dead on arrival. I mean, in 5 years, you'll talk yourself out of your vocation, for sure. So the key thing, of course, is, yeah, if we just put on our thinking caps and go, how am I going to make this work? Honestly, it'll just get stronger and stronger. And if we take off those hats and put on the weather hat, they'll get weaker and weaker. And of course, Jesus says, everything matters in the commitments that we make. Amen.